Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hey there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back. Another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. I am here today with you with part two of session five with Melissa. And it's interesting, the running theme that we have through all these episodes is that there's nothing wrong with Melissa. And there's nothing wrong with you. Melissa has shared that she has been diagnosed as level one autistic, and that didn't come out until her late 40s, early 50s. She wasn't fully diagnosed with that, but she had an inkling through her whole childhood that there was something wrong with her, that other people knew what to do and she didn't. And who she was deep down inside was somehow wrong. And so you'll hear me through these episodes constantly say, well, there's nothing wrong with you. And she says that now to herself, there's nothing wrong with me. This is just how my brain works, how I am. And so today's episode is really leaning into that and owning that who she is and who maybe you are is amazing and wonderful and something to be celebrated. And so Melissa is leaning into her authentic self and doesn't want to mask anymore. Masking is exhausting. Anyone who has played a role for a very long time knows how exhausting that can be. You're walking on a tightrope trying to do things perfectly to please other people. And instead, whatever, we're going to let that all go. And we're going to please you. And Melissa's going to please herself. And that's what this episode is all about. I told you last week, if you want to do the taking stock of the here and the now, the kind of year in review worksheets that she has done, I have done, and all of the coaching clients I've worked with have done, you can download them at any time, stephanieoday.com/new you. Okay, pretty people, here's Melissa.
We don't push and talk about the bad things. We just ignore them till they go away, and then they don't go away.
No, they don't. And that's it. So okay, so you have a very good nose for BS and for people faking it, which probably is because of the neurodivergency. And so some people could look at it as there's Melissa again. Calling it as she sees it, whereas in our family, green is blue, and we're gonna lie and say green is blue forever and ever, even though you know. So it's very back to like the emperor's wearing no clothes, and now with an adult lens, we can look at that with admiration that you were that person kind of poking the emperor has no clothes or whatever metaphor you want to use, yet you were told you were wrong constantly. And so now knowing all of the things you do, when you were first diagnosed, I know it started with the ADHD and then moved on to the level one autism. Were you relieved or surprised, or how did you go about digging for that sort of diagnosis?
Well, I was actually with my therapist and having kind of a meltdown because I kept telling her, the way I am is offensive to people and I don't want to be this way anymore because I want to fit in. And because I, for someone who always sees through everything and for someone who doesn't like closing the wound and hiding the scar, I find myself in all the wrong places for that. Boy, was I born into the wrong family for that. A lot of my social circles don't appreciate that. I don't know how I wind up in these spaces where the way I experience the world is not the commentary that needs to be shared or that people appreciate. And so I was basically telling her I didn't think therapy was working because I still annoyed people in the spaces that I was in or was off-putting to people in the spaces I was in. And I didn't like feeling that way. And so she did the evaluation because she wanted me to see myself as it was. She said, there's not really any accommodation. There's not really, this isn't going to change the way the world sees you, but it might change the way you navigate the world. And it absolutely did. It was a relief. I was angry a little bit. Like, how did nobody ever catch this? I was constantly being punished as a kid and and not punished as a teenager, but being left out or treated poorly by my peers for something that was just inherent, was never going to change. And why didn't we know this, you know, 30 years ago? And one of my friends did gently say, well, it's not the kind of thing we were looking for when you and I were growing up. And that's absolutely true. So it was a lot of feelings. I was relieved. I was mad that no one caught it. And I was mad at people for being mean and mad even when I could tell myself, well, none of us knew. Well, you shouldn't be mean. It doesn't matter. I didn't need that magic piece of paper that says level one autism. People should have just been nice. Because as I said, for someone who navigates the world the way I do, I navigate myself into some of the least appropriate spaces for that. My family didn't care for that. A lot of the organizations I've been involved with didn't care for that. It fits in great at work. So I like that. But I found myself in a lot of spaces where who I am and who I'm always going to be isn't maybe the ideal fit for that. But it was a huge relief. She said, I just want you to see, as you have been working with me, there's nothing wrong with you. This is just the way you are. Therapy is going to help you process things. Therapy is going to help you cope, but it's not going to change who you are. And that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. And it absolutely is okay. But when you look back on how kids are, and just for lack of a better word, and just because I'm feeling a little feisty, we put them in these boxes and tell them they have to stand in line and keep your hands in your lap and squelch all natural impulses and wait to be called on and have your hand raised and stand in a line and back to the don't slouch and smile and perform. It's really interesting. And then also as a society, we one expect that from teeny tiny little children, which is not age or developmentally appropriate. But then also like growing up, like even a dance performance and different stuff, for some reason we're drawn to like perfect choreography where no one is off, which really doesn't make any sense. But then when you look at like dancing at a club or being free, that is fun also to look at. So anyway, my brain is all over the place listening to you talk, but it's really fascinating. And anyone listening at home, think about how often you're correcting children and different people throughout your life and day-to-day experiences just for being human. They're not doing anything wrong in any way. Interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Melissa.
Well, and it's funny that you bring up dance class because the most tortured memories of my life, my mom put me in ballet classes because I was hopelessly uncoordinated. Again, it's a neurodivergent symptom. And I joke that I found myself in all the wrong spaces for the way I was. I took ballet from the age of 6 until I was 14 till middle school through eighth grade. She finally let me quit in high school. And it was, the little kid classes were fun, maybe first and second grade. It was misery from third through eighth grade because I couldn't physically make my body conform to the way that it was supposed to go. And my parents thought it built character to, you know, feel left out and feel like you didn't fit in. And maybe it would push me to try harder to fit in. And again, that was one of the biggest wrong spaces that I found myself growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And also permission as an adult to not do any of that anymore. And I'll just use myself as an example. I've gone to a few exercise classes with my friend Jennifer, and she really likes barre, which has a lot of ballet in it and movement, but they all move the same way. And if the music is beating, like they all go to the left. Well, I go to the right, or they start on their right foot and I start on my left. And the cueing is different. And for me, yoga, I'm certain for other people, yoga doesn't feel as free to be yourself. And maybe they're looking at different Instagram aesthetic. But for me, yoga, because of the cues and you're just doing what feels right, I'm always like quote unquote on par with the instructor. And it's so obvious, like this is all on the left side of your body now. I'm like, okay, great. But yeah, so I get it. I get the feeling that everyone else is going one way and you're going the other way, which means there's something wrong with you. And I also have had the experience, as you have at work, at thinking outside the box and being creative is a skill and an asset that it feels really gratifying to be rewarded for.
Mm-hmm. And no, and I love yoga. I love it most from the privacy of my own living room.
Same, same.
But I do love it. I took, when I was still a stay-at-home mom, I joined the Y in part for the kids to have swimming lessons and in part because it had a little nursery and I could go and go around the track by myself and it was invaluable. But on Saturday mornings, they taught what they called a yoga exploration class. It was taught by a very tiny little lady from France. Mm-hmm. And she was wonderful. Do what feels right in your body. That pose doesn't work for you. Modify that pose. This is just for you to stretch and love the program. Not all yoga instructors are like that. I learned when she had a substitute. But I learned to really love it and embrace it. And so I enjoy it most. I don't have time for the Y anymore. I do different things now, but I enjoy it most from the privacy of my living room, but I do get a lot out of it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad you brought up movement and health. And then there's probably a little shame enveloped in there. I was looking at your 3-year plan for health, and you wrote ideal weight or perfect weight or something in there. We've never discussed that at all, yet it was something you wrote down.
That has been a journey for me, up and down. I didn't struggle with my weight until I started having kids, which I think is not a unique experience. And then perimenopause and menopause have not been kind. It's getting less about appearance, although obviously that's going to play a factor. I have a pinched nerve that I suspect would benefit if I weighed a little bit less. Actually, I know this because I have lost about 15 pounds and I can tell that my body's a little happier. And I have to, you know, ideally, we've talked about this, I have to live in this body, I hope, for another 30 years or so. So I would like for it to be healthier. Actually, this morning, just before I jumped on the call, I weigh in every Wednesday and I did my Wednesday weigh in and I'm in Wonderland, for those of you who know what that means, for the first time in a really long time. So some of it is appearance, some of it is superficial, and I need to think about that. But some of it is legitimately, I know it's better for me. And so I'm working on that. And I don't really know what that ideal weight is. I know what the chart says, and I'm less worried about that than I used to be. So I think that's a good thing. But yeah. But I would like to be able to keep up with grandkids someday. So it's a thing I think about. I did note I had a doctor's appointment. And I like my doctor. I picked her very deliberately. She's younger than I am because I want her not to retire anytime soon. But she and I look at weight very differently. She and I suspect I filled that out shortly within the range of my appointment, because I've kind of been, we had the appointment 2 weeks ago, and I've kind of been
stewing.
Yeah. Well, not really stewing, but just
okay.
Taking what was good from what she had to say and parsing it out from some of the things I think she and I don't agree about. And I think that's okay. I take Contrave, which is weight loss medication. It's a combination of Wellbutrin and naltrexone. The Wellbutrin is great for so many reasons for me.
Okay.
And I think that this is really beneficial. And she did not think that the weight was coming off fast enough for it to remain beneficial. She basically said, well, maybe we should discontinue this. Well, I don't think we should. And we agreed at the end of the appointment, I wasn't going to do that, but I don't think I should. I think it's helpful. And I have steadily lost weight since I started taking it back in November. Maybe not as much as she would like for me to have lost, but I think the pace is good. I think it's appropriate because I don't go back up. It just takes forever to move down. So that was probably on my mind in a big way because she and I were those conversations. And I've ultimately over the last few weeks come to the conclusion that maybe it's, she is a doctor and I respect that, but maybe it's okay that she and I see that differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with all of the moving and the movement that you've been doing, how does that feel? Do you feel like, wow, I'm really proud that this body has birthed five babies and can do all this stuff? Or are you thinking, oh, this would be easier if blah, blah, blah was in place?
A little bit of both. I mentioned the pinched nerve and I've had some other back difficulties and I had physical therapy about 4 years ago. And of course,
where is the pinched nerve?
It's in my right hip.
Okay.
And it causes some numbness in my upper right thigh, which I don't.
Okay.
But they were very, very careful because physical therapy, they want to rehabilitate everything, but oh, don't push, don't do things that are going to push too far. We want to heal and stabilize. Don't go nuts. And then I joined the Healthy Living Center, which is for people ages 50 and up in our community. And I did the step of, hiring the trainer so that I wasn't doing the wrong thing with the weight machines. And he knew that I'd had physical therapy. So I feel like he was appropriately delicate in his approach to what he told me was appropriate for me to do in terms of the weight machines. And then in terms of the pace when I walk and run around the track in the gym. But with this moving, you know, my house doesn't care that it has all the stairs, the old house, which it does. I can't be careful in that way. I've got to get things done. I mean, careful in the way that I lift and careful in the way I go up and down the stairs. But, you know, I was doing 15 and 20,000 steps a day and feeling tired when I was done, but rebounding the next day and recovering faster than I thought I would. And I think maybe because the physical therapists are appropriately cautious and the personal trainer in response to that was appropriately cautious, I'm maybe not pushing myself.
And
I don't want to go crazy, but I'm fine with the pace I kept moving in and out of the house. I think it's contributed to the drop on the scale a little bit this morning. And maybe I should be just a little less cautious.
A little less cautious. Yeah. So I like to envision like if your fist is tight and this is your inner circle, and then you put a hand over it and that's kind of your stretch zone. So if you're stuck in this inner circle, there's no growth happening. But if you move into that outer circle, that is stretching, and that's where like a bud in a seed can kind of expand and grow. When you go too fast and envision a circle outside of that circle, that's scary, too much, too fast. I like that. One thing that's interesting is there's the experts, the quote unquote experts, and then there's you who knows yourself so well, and you've done all of these things, and you're 53 and you have a vision for yourself at 73 and going into your 80s with your grandchildren. You know what you're capable of and what feels scary. And you use ChatGPT so much. Have you chatted with ChatGPT? Because it'll come up with a personalized plan for you if you wanted to or are interested.
I talk a little bit more about getting more protein because that just is an age thing. I love carbs, but they don't love me back the way they did when I was a teenager. And that's just a fact. So I've used it to make sure I'm getting more protein into my diet. I've used it a little bit when, especially in these past few weeks that we've been moving and I've been between houses. This is what I have at this house at this time. Help me fix dinner with these things. And it's been great for that. I haven't maybe done as much in terms of exercise with it. But I will say, hey, this is what I had for breakfast and this is what I had for lunch. What should I have for dinner? Mm-hmm. That's the reason. Or, you know, that's not going to make me feel miserable when I go to sleep tonight, because as I said, I still love carbs. They just don't love me back the way they used to. And I don't ever want to be one of those people that's no fun to be around because I'll only eat X, Y, or Z. But at the same time, I need to acknowledge that I have a 53-year-old body and it has limitations on what it wants to process, what fuels it.
If it helps, I'm going to alleviate you of that worry of not being fun. Because if you had some sort of allergy or if you had some sort of intolerance all of a sudden, and if people were ever making you feel bad for eating a certain way because of that, I mean, those are not your friends. Those are not people to hang out with. And anyone in your own social circle and certainly family and extended family would want you to succeed and to feel good in your body at all times. And you're absolutely right that simple carbs and processed sugar probably don't. But that doesn't mean it's a forever. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy parties and special occasions and just having the good stuff in there first and you're absolutely on the right path. As far as the Wonderland, I don't want to dismiss that because that's great. So did you feel proud of yourself when you saw that number this morning?
Oh, absolutely. I got up a little earlier than usual because I have things to do as soon as we get off this call and I wanted to be closer to ready than to leave the house. That made it worth it because that's the first thing, you know, I stepped on the scale and was like, okay, I'm so happy I got up early. This is a great day. And I've always had to tread that cautiously because I have four daughters. Mm. I don't ever want them to be self-conscious or I don't ever want that to affect them negatively. I did Weight Watchers after I had my fourth child and it worked really well. I have great things to say about it. But I became more careful about my words when my oldest daughter, who was eight at the time, seven or eight, said something like, I'm sorry you have to be on a diet, mommy. It seems to make you mad. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, nope, we're not having that. So I've always tried to err on the side of caution where my daughters are concerned because I don't ever want them to be hung up on their weight. Although I know that some of them have struggled with that anyway. I can't change what the environment that they grow up in. I can't change what happens outside the house. So I always tried to be really cautious about that and not talk at great length, but also I'm 53 and there are just certain things that are true about my body now that I have to honor. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's such a juxtaposition between Weight Watchers that like in today's day and age, there's no way they would create a company called that because it's just so obnoxious and it's very one-dimensional. And I know that they're trying to change it to like WW or something instead. But then this community program that you joined called Healthy Living Community, mm-hmm. because really that's just what you're trying to do.
Well, and I refer to it as the old people gym, but my personal trainer who works there was like, this is the Healthy Living Center. Please stop calling it the old. He's in
That's
his
awesome.
mid-30s. He doesn't know what he's talking about anyway.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, good. All right. We haven't talked about writing at all. And I know you, are you wishing you were farther along at this point in the calendar year, or it is what it is, or are you worried that you'll never finish? What are your thoughts?
I'm easily distracted still, and that worries me. Although you could argue very justifiably moving and having that last push to get everything out of the house before they took the dumpster back is not a normal part of my schedule. And it's okay that I got a little bit off track focused on that, because that's what needed to be focused on. I just want to make sure that I finish because I am easily distracted. That said, finding a lot of those pictures and a lot of the other items I found in the box really adds to the narrative. So I wasn't writing necessarily, but I was doing accidental research.
Yeah. Are you going to have photos?
I don't know. I don't know that that would be interesting to the reading audience, if that makes sense. Obviously, you know, I'm proud of my family. I want to say, look at how beautiful my great grandmother was when she was 13. Look, she was. Have her nose. That was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, look, there's where the nose comes from. Obviously, I love these people that I'm writing about and want to show them off and celebrate them, but I'm not sure that that's the interesting part to whoever's going to read this in the future.
Have you ever thumbed through those historical books, and the publisher is Arcadia, the Arcadia history books?
No.
Okay. So
that sounds interesting.
Well, you probably will have seen them just because they have them in museums and gift shops and stuff. And my grandma actually wrote a few Arcadia books, but they are picture based. And so it's the photo and then the caption underneath, and that's how they tell the story. So there's definitely a time and a place for photos, and it might actually spark an idea for a sequel or just idea, because a lot can happen in captions and things.
I'd love to do it for my kids and their eventual kids, because I talk a lot about how we were secretive, and I talk a lot about, you know, the negative side of things. I am also really proud of where I came from. Those women were tough ladies, and they handled things to the best of their ability at the time. My grandmother and I had a few very unguarded conversations where she talked about really regretting giving up my mom, even though she knew she was privileged, and that she goes, you know, I saw her grow up. My boys played with her as if they were siblings, and then they found out that they were siblings before they became adults. She said, so for someone who had to give up her baby, I really had the best situation, but I just wish I hadn't done it. And I said to her very realistically, I'm like, I wasn't living in the 1940s and 50s, so I don't know what that was like, but I feel like maybe that would have been a lot more difficult for you and mom. And she agreed. She said, oh, absolutely. And I didn't want her to grow up being viewed that way either. She said, I think your mom thinks I don't love her because I did that. And that was never true, which I told her. I was like, no, my mom had people fighting over who got to have her in the home. She's okay.
That's sweet. That was nice of you. That's a gift to have given your grandma. That's sort of,
I was
yeah.
Honest. She talked to me about it.
Yeah. And it also just sort of shows that yet again, humans in general really need validation and praise from other humans to show that they're on the right path, and that they're all okay. We're not all just living alone in a vacuum on an island. It's not Forrest Gump, but Tom Hanks with the beach ball, whatever, volleyball, whatever that movie is. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Captured, Wilson. Captain. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. Wilson is the volleyball, and
yeah.
I will remember the name of the movie as soon as we get off this call.
Yeah. All good. All good. Okay. I am right that I'll see you Saturday for a peace call?
Correct.
Okay. So, comparing and contrasting you now versus where you were a few months ago, do you feel more at peace?
Absolutely. I had no idea how much difference the house change would make. We knew it needed to be done, but I was not prepared for how good this would feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something just to be said of just a bit of a different perspective and change of scenery. And it doesn't mean you always have to move. It could be that you're painting a wall in your house or you're, I don't know, sleeping in a guest bedroom for a few nights to change perspective. But I'm so thankful for you that you were able to do this.
We're never moving again. We forgot after 20 years how difficult that is. So yeah, we were like, okay, we're done. We're living here forever. This is it. So no, it's not always done with a move. In fact, I think I was resistant to the idea of moving because I didn't want to think, oh, well, you've got to do something drastic to solve all your problems. And I don't think that that's true. I just think this addresses the lifestyle we have now versus the lifestyle we had when the kids were growing up.
Yeah, agree. Okay. This technically is our fifth call. So we're 2/3 of the way through the agreed upon sessions. What would you like to have happen? If you wanted a Melissa before and after, like, is there anything that you really wanted to have proven or shown to yourself before we end? And so then I can try to make it happen for you.
Well, I think we've done a lot. I know what motivated me to email and discuss the opportunity of participating in these phone calls was I made a lot of, as you called them earlier, micro changes that I've been making, inspired a lot by the Simple Shortcuts to Peace course, but also by some books, Try Softer by Andy Kohler. I pushed that one a lot, but that one really, I made a lot of changes. And I think when your email came out offering the opportunity for coaching, my thought was, okay, Steph, I've done X, Y, and Z, and all of this has been a result of what I've learned in the last 4 years. So I have this different job that works much better. We're transitioning into a new home that works much better. I'm making all these changes based on wanting a slower life, a softer life. Now, what do I do with all of this? I need to pull it all together. And how do I move forward having made these small adjustments over the last 4 years to where I find myself in a completely different place? I'm like, so I'm here now. Now what? And I think we've come a long way with the now what. I think that was my goal was, okay, well, now what's the direction? I've paid attention. I've made adjustments, but now what do I do? How do I live this slower life that I set myself up for?
Yeah. I like that. And I like that it's taken years and it sounds so silly because sometimes people really want the quick fix. They want 30 days to perfect abs and do this for 3 weeks in a row and you'll never have to step foot in the gym again or some like huge overhaul. But it is the tiny changes that work over time. And it's the idea that you're not going on or off any sort of program. Like this is just becoming the new normal, the new routine, the new habits.
Well, and doing anything in excess or cold turkey, I know it doesn't work for me. And the older I get, the more I think that doesn't really work for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad. And then also I want to point out when it comes to writing the book and finishing it, I know we're paying a lot of attention to finishing it, but then also you want it the way you want it and it's your hobby right now. And so it's enjoyable. You don't necessarily want to rush through it because you're enjoying it.
Correct. And I'm learning new things with, I mean, I thought, oh, I know this story. And then I find this big box of pictures and documents. And no, I didn't. I knew part of this story.
Yeah. Okay. So as we work, so you and I are recording now at the end of the summer. We've got winter holidays coming up, all of this kind of crazy back to school time. And I always feel like this time in the calendar, it feels like a really steep ski slope going down. Are there things that we really should map out so you have a plan in place to get through the end of this calendar?
Absolutely. I think so, because we do kind of off the rails is the wrong word, but I mean, it'll be a little different this year because I'm at a different job where, my old job, we had events that we did for the fall and for the holiday season, and I was in charge of making those events happen. I'm not anymore. So it's a little less off the rails. And, you know, four of the five kids are adults now. So we will decorate the tree and pull everything out, but it won't be the usual. There won't be an onslaught of Christmas programs and holiday activities at the school. And I'm amusingly reminded of my 21-year-old who, when she was in kindergarten, they had the Thanksgiving feast. And she said, "Mom, I only signed you up for one thing, the turkey." That
Oh, that's so
happened.
funny. Oh, that's adorbs.
That's some family lore that happened. So I won't get signed up for an accidental turkey or any of those things, but it's still easy to get distracted by busyness.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's work on that for your homework. I'll give you some worksheets. The worksheets will look very familiar since you're in the Strike Kids to Peace course, but I'll see if I can tweak them a little bit to personalize for you. And I think you're great. I'm happy for all the things. And then, I mean, we didn't talk last week and I said you could email me at any time and you didn't. I'm like, well, I don't want to bug her. So
And it was really just kind of leaning into, we suddenly realized, oh crap, that dumpster is not going to be there forever. And we need to get everything we want in it before they take it away. So I got a little distracted by that, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No, dumpsters are amazing. I think I had shared before that my friend Jenny on, it was a large anniversary. Maybe it was like her 20th anniversary. Her husband asked, "What is it you want?" And she goes, "A dumpster." And so that was her anniversary. She was thrilled.
I get it.
Yeah, very cool. All right. You take care and I'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. That wraps up episode 220. And that's part two of session 5 with Melissa. I know we spent some time at the end of this call talking about the winter holidays. When you're listening to this, you're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. And so consider yourself loved and hugged. This is a stressful time for even the most organized, the most cool, calm, collected cucumber of them all. This is a stressful time. Wherever you are, please know you are not alone. And I know you're going to be okay. And I'm here at any time. You can reach out to me. You can write to me. I'm a real person. Steph@stephanieoday.com. I'd love for you to download those taking stock of the here and the now worksheets, the year in the review worksheets. Do them. They're at stephanieoday.com/new-you. At any time, if you'd like to join the Peace Course, do so. stephanieoday.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E. Everyone who joins the Peace Course gets 2 one-on-one coaching calls with me. And we jump right in. We don't waste time getting to know each other because they give you a full questionnaire. And then we get to the heart of where you're stuck and help get you unstuck. I sort of look at it as like a rock and a lever, and we get that ball rolling and make sure that you're picking up momentum and speed as we go through the calls and the course together. I'm thrilled that Melissa has continued to be in the Peace Course for as long as she has. We had talked about how she's been in the program and started to make these micro changes for 4 years. And now when she looks back at where she was 4 years ago, it's unrecognizable. She didn't know she was going to move. She didn't know she was going to start this book project, but it happened, and she made it happen in teeny tiny baby steps in a very sustainable way. Okay. As always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful and kind. I'll be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.